Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whenever this is on this amazing day. I hope you are having a super fantastic day. This is Robert Bolden, Life Transformed, and this is Coffee and Christ. This is my weekly share of the daily practice that has literally transformed my life. I'm coming to you today from Charleston, South Carolina. I was here for a little workshop, so that just wrapped up. Here for another day to kind of hang out. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, thank you so much for joining. This is really spontaneous. There's no plan to it. I'm going to open up some sources of the word and just you'll get to see how it's impacting me right on the spot. Sun's coming up over here to my left. So you see that coming in anyway. So thank you. My hope with this podcast is that something that is revealed to me can also be something that may give you some new awareness. Because this being in the Word every day is transformative. That's what cleanses us, and that's what makes us new, continues to, I think, sanctify us. It's one thing to say, yep, I'm following Jesus, but it's another thing to let the Word cleanse you every day. So you can be transformed to be more like Jesus, because that's what we are all hoping for anyway, right? That's what it's all about. Okay, so the verse of the day is Mark 3:25. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Ooh, that's some good stuff right there. I think that what that speaks into me is the concept of harmony. And the way it's hitting me is harmony is just being, just knowing that the house in this case, let's say it's a family or it could be a business, it could be a community like we have. If I think anything that is rooted in division comes from the enemy. First of all, and it comes from pride. So if we can all be in harmony with one another, that doesn't mean we agree with each other, but that just means that we know that we are for each other. So that's just a fundamental knowing that we are for each other and everything we are doing to serve one another is to really make us better through the word. So the word is the truth. So if I have this desire to stand divided against somebody, I need to go right back to the word, right back to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and determine if I'm, check my heart. Where am I? Am I in a good space or not? So that, making a note here. So a house is divided against itself, it can't stand. And it's just so true. I can think about even within our community, we have processes in place. We accept anybody into our community. But as you move up through the journey to higher levels of our community, and higher just meaning progressive steps, that harmony becomes very important. We meet people where they are, but we won't leave them where they are. You have to desire something more. You have to be seeking a little bit more. We've got can join our community, and that's just the base level of life transform. And there you're just kind of observing and can participate in the community, type in what's going on with you, questions, that sort of thing. I have group coaching sessions available, hot seat sessions, we call them. But then as you move up, that harmony becomes more and more important because you're moving. Again, we won't keep you where you are. Community empowers you, it inspires you to more. So as you yourself inspire, are inspired to more, that harmony becomes more and more important. All right, I love it. Let's go to a plan here. First plan I'm going to dig into, power in Acts 9, 32 to 35. This is power, Acts 9, 32 to 35. We're given the fifth and final P of evangelism, and that is power. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he rose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Two entire cities turned to Christ because of one display of God's power. One man who had been paralyzed was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and two cities came to God. Whew, pretty fascinating, isn't it? We have the same gospel. It is the same Holy Spirit. We serve the same blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to pray that God will, if necessary, do the miraculous to save people. And that's the cool part. Is God can do the miraculous to save people. We don't do any of that. We just have the faith, and we know the power, and the power is in the Word. The power is the Word. So as long as we're teaching, proclaiming, sharing the Word, then we've got the power. We've got the power. I love it. When I was living in Oregon, no, here we go. Wait, I missed a piece. All right, Paul, writing in the book of Romans, says he fully preached the gospel with miracles, signs, and wonders. People will respond today just like they did then. But we need to be bold, step out, and pray things to happen. When I was living in Oregon, there was an Indian girl who was very sick and actually at the point of death. The doctors told her she was going to die. But she came to a small meeting one night, and the evangelist prayed for her. She was healed and then gave her life to Christ. As a result, her dad, a famous rodeo rider, got saved. And her mom was saved also. Then a large group of people from her tribe came to Christ as well. See, that's the power of God. That's how he works. I always say he's not going to work for just one person. When he does a miracle, it's to save many. It is to save many. So don't, you know, I think that's where pride can come in if people... Oh God, I need help. I need help with this or that. It's not about you. It's about glory for God, right? So if we just rest in that power, and I believe in, like in this case, you know, we're all priests, and the guy that prayed for the little girl, we can do the same thing for people. And this is the litmus test, though, is do you believe? Are you surrendered? Do you believe God could do a miracle today in your midst based on a prayer that you pray over somebody who needs some kind of healing? Well, if you believe it, that's good because God can. I can tell you that. Evangelism through power, we need to trust God for the supernatural. Yes, that is the key line there. Trust God for the supernatural. But you have to have that trust. That is the key. You have to have that trust. All right. So now there's some verses I can highlight any of these. Let's see. That's it. The one miracle that God used. Save that. Acts 3, 9, 35. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. That's what happens. You guys, this is the cool part, is this is truth. When we read in the Word, that is truth. It is what is true. You just have to believe it. You can't rationalize it. You can't try to make sense of it. Some things you just can't make sense of. Trust God for the supernatural. That's my note. Boom. All right, let's see how we doing so far on time. Doing good. Let's go to the next one. And this is coming from some Proverbs. You know, Proverbs, that's so much in Proverbs. Let's get going here. All right, so we're in Proverbs 8 this morning. Be honest, if you were offered anything you could desire or wisdom, what would you choose? Well, I'm being honest now. I would choose wisdom now because I know the Bible. And I guess this is going to be talking about Solomon, because he had a chance to choose anything and he chose wisdom. And then God blessed him with wisdom and everything else. But you think about it, everything that we desire, the worldly things, are empty. They don't bring anything back. They don't deliver any results. It may give you temporary jolts of happiness, but there's no joy in the world. There really isn't. It's a broken place. And that's what we're called, to be the light to this broken world. Those of us who follow Jesus. So it's so much fun. It is so much fun to do that. You could have all the money in the world, the perfect house, family, location, job, clothes, change in appearance, etc. Of course, we all know the right answer, and praise God that many of us might choose that. But would we choose it begrudgingly? That's a question for you. I sure wouldn't, because I lived in the world and I had all the worldly things at one point. And I realized that that's a lie. It won't bring you anything that's long lasting. It just simply won't. All right. I chose wisdom because I know it's the right thing to do. But do I wish I could have had, they said with a laugh. Or said with a sigh, right? That's funny. Whatever you desire it because you see the value in it. It's good. The more of it we have, or the more important it is, the more value it has to us. Yes. And that's how the word works. Reading the Bible, that's how it works. The more you read it, so the more you have it in your life, the more valuable it becomes. I've experienced that in my life 100% from a guy who never even opened a Bible for the first 50 plus years of his life to now when I'm reading the Bible every day, it becomes more and more valuable to me. That is a fact. That's good. Proverbs 8, 10 to 11. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I love it. 10, 11. Choose wisdom. And I would say that's truth. Choose wisdom every single time. It's a fact, an undeniable truth, that nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. You see, when you find wisdom, and you will if you seek her, you'll begin to see her value. The more wisdom you have, the more value she will have to you. That's true. It's just like it just builds on itself. Boom, 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 boom. That's the way wisdom works. And pretty soon, your desires start going down, 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 down. Desires of the flesh go down, 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 down. That's what I've experienced in my life. You probably have too. But you've got to turn it into like a a discipline, and I don't mean that in a bad way, or a habit. And once you get rolling with it, it'll become self-perpetuating. You cross over that tipping point, as they say, a 50-50 point, and pretty soon it's like, oh, this, I look forward to doing this. I want to do this. I want to be in the Word. The desires we mentioned above can't show us how to follow Jesus, but wisdom will. They can't sustain a healthy marriage, but wisdom can. They can't teach us the best use of our time, but wisdom wants to. Being given any desire we want will more than likely encourage bad judgment, not good judgment. Time and again, wisdom calls to us saying, get prudence, get good judgment, understanding, skill. Wouldn't it be great if someone said to you, you're very skilled at just life? Yeah, right? And you could respond saying, I know, and it was free. I can show you if you'd like. You know, that's my experience since I started following Jesus. I have freedom. I enjoy every single day. I don't care what circumstances are happening. I enjoy every day. That's the freedom, and it is free for everybody. For those of us honest enough to say we pick our desires over wisdom, and you wish that wasn't the case, don't worry. God is pretty good at transforming hearts that want to be changed. The Holy Spirit will help you to want the things that God wants for you. He wants you to see and experience that nothing you desire compares with wisdom. He's pretty good at transforming hearts that want to be changed. He wants you to see the value of wisdom. It's hard to provide something practical with this, but you can pray. Once you've prayed, keep an eye out for wisdom and apply what she teaches you. Father God, thank you for your gift of wisdom. Transform my heart so that I would know both an understanding and its practicality. How much more valuable is wisdom than anything else I could possibly desire? Please give me wisdom and never let me become the simple or the fool. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's it. I mean, for me, that works. Thinking about, you know, the fool or simple. It just helps me, you know, because you could go through each day and every decision you have to make. Oh, is this foolish? Is this simple-minded? And I like to keep things simple, but that's different than being simple-minded. You know, the Bible says, don't worry. Cast all your fear on me. Then guess what? When you worry, you're being a fool. I mean, I can't say it any more direct than that. But don't beat yourself up. Just say, oh, I just need to turn to the Word more. I need to give this up to God. Any of this worry. Because that is not truth. That isn't what God is saying. That isn't the freedom that God has for you and I. Isn't that beautiful? All right, I'm going to mark these two. And I'm going to get back into posting on Instagram here. I've been tied up with our challenge, which was amazing, by the way. If you didn't join our challenge, you're going to get an opportunity to sign up. Next one is going to be in July. So make sure you do sign up. They're fantastic. Hope to Purpose Challenge. You don't have to be a follower of Jesus to join our challenge, and you'll be able to create your purpose statements if you don't have them, perfect your vision, and really be able to have a guiding light to live your life on purpose for a purpose. Start to have joy in your life instead of just chasing that fleeting happiness, those desires of the heart. All right, that's going to wrap us up today. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been Robert Bolden, Life Transformed, Coffee and Christ. Every Thursday, we drop an episode. Usually, I'm in Asheville. I'll be back there next week at Odds Cafe on Haywood Street. So until then, have a great rest of your morning, afternoon, or evening. Subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends. Have a great rest of your time. Take care.